Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Calling it the Bob Spindel Must Go Edition. But Jim, I won't drag you into my little personal grievances with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend, welcome back to the second greatest radio show ever behind the morning cannoli.
Hey, Jim.
It's a close call between the two of them, and today I think you win. Delighted to be with both of you, as always.
Jim, so many issues to take up. The biggest breaking news is probably that the special counselor is running to the U.S. Supreme Court and wants to find out once and for all, does Trump have any legitimate claim to presidential immunity? Do I understand this correctly, counselor?
You got it just right, exactly. The special counsel, Jack Smith, is looking at his calendar, as we all should be doing, and identifying this March date that Tanya Chutkan, the judge, has set for the trial. And he's counted the days, he's counted the weeks, and he says, geez, this is pending right now before the D.C. Court of Appeals on precisely the issue identified, which is whether or not this absolutely ridiculous notion that Donald Trump is somehow immune from prosecution by virtue of his past presidency. And oh, by the way, that he also has already tried double jeopardy in the United States Senate, and for that reason cannot go forward. Neither one of those has any merit to it whatsoever. He is concerned, however, about the length of time that this may take in front of the D.C. Court of Appeals. And so, yes, indeed, there is a process by which you can say, United States Supreme Court, an issue of great concern, great focus, great interest for America, take this up right now, compel us to file briefs and argue it promptly, get this resolved so we can stay on track for that March deadline that the judge has set, that we can select a jury on that day. That's what he's concerned about. And frankly, it makes perfect sense. The process itself is not unknown. It is atypical. It is not routinely invoked, but it is there to grant certiorari in a situation like this when you've got that interest.
Jim, some breaking news from the Washington Post. Apparently, the Supreme Court will consider fast-tracking Trump's appeal in the D.C. trial. They have Trump's lawyers were told to file briefs on the issue by December 20th.
There you go. So again, briefs coming in. You know, we do have a Supreme Court, you recall, about 23 years ago that can handle things very quickly. It happened to be the election of 2000 when virtually every other day they were issuing opinions, ultimately Bush versus Gore. They can act as quickly as any other court in the land can do. Admittedly, it takes nine of them to sit down and talk through things. This should be handled expeditiously. That's what Jack Smith wants. And again, get this back to the district court. Get Tanya Chutkan to handle all the pretrial matters, other things that she has got to take care of, including not a small thing like jury selection, getting a big pool of jurors in there to begin that process in March.
Jim Santel, our fine guest. He is also the host of Morning Cannoli on the Saturday mornings. Jim, here's my concern. 6-3 conservative court, and I know Alito's chomping at the bit. I know Thomas is probably willing to sell his soul for this issue. I'm less concerned about a few of the newer appointees, but should I be, Jim? Should I be worried about the math?
You should be. We should all be a little worried because, as we say all the time, including Saturday morning just this past week, we can't know. We don't know until we actually see what they have decided. On this particular issue, whether or not there is presidential immunity, there's precedent from a fellow named Richard Nixon that's already out there. That should be compelling. And even putting that to one side, as I said, this is such a ridiculous issue. The notion that somehow a president, by virtue of his presidency, now past, is subject to current prosecution for the things that he has done in that past period. Even if they're not inclined to go along with this, if they don't want to do it, I would say that they're obliged as a pure matter of law and for the future of the democracy, if you will, to say, yes, indeed, there's nothing here to this notion about immunity by this former president. It opens up, they go down that door, it opens up a huge number of other cases out there by defendants across the country who will raise and go back and revisit the issue of immunities generally. It changes quite dramatically the very fabric of what immunity principles have been all about.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours. Trump was supposed to be given testimony in his own defense in the fraud trial, New York, the civil trial. And apparently he discovered the fact that he lies copiously might be a perjury trap for him if he had to go give testimony to the validity of his prior statements. Well, Jim, it may not play out well in a court of law. So somehow he's blaming it on the gag order. This no shocker, Trump not giving testimony today.
Yeah, it is a shock only that this is the first time I recall that Donald Trump declined an opportunity when a microphone is in front of him to talk, right? The reason why the so-called gag order is not applicable here, the gag order relates to things outside of court. And we hope now that those things are being affirmed, that he understands that. When you are in court and you're under oath, you're required to tell the truth, and that's his problem. I think this may also be a landmark day in American history, at least for Donald Trump, because it might be the first time in our recent recollection that he might have actually followed the advice of his attorneys to be quiet and not to talk further, especially since when he was on the stand previously, recall that Letitia James called him in her case in chief. Two big things happened. The media focused a lot upon the sparring between him and Judge Engoron. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of craziness in the courtroom back and forth. But the other thing that kind of got a second heading in the newspapers was the testimony did not go well for him. This was not a compelling presentation before. You want to go back and get beaten up again by the prosecution? Not so much. And so this is, frankly, perhaps one of the few wise things that Donald Trump has done to stay off the stand. We now have closing arguments will come up in January. The judge has indicated he wants to get this resolved by late January. He will write a copious, very long opinion on this. Hopefully by sometime in February, when we're back together, I'm on your show again, we can talk about what Judge Engoron has done, not only to reaffirm his position that there was fraud in these evaluations of properties, but now how much money Donald Trump has to pay for that, and the other consequences to his company, his corporation, related to the future of his status there in New York.
Well, Jim, I'm not surprised at all that Trump did not testify today. My understanding, Forbes has a recording of him talking about the 33,000 square foot penthouse he owns. You know, you can't really go back and say, oh, this was a mistake by somebody else. If there's a recording of him saying that out there. So not going to open himself up to that kind of liability, I would imagine. I want to get back briefly, if I may, to Jack Smith kind of leapfrogging the appellate court and going right to the Supreme Court. Again, apparently the Trump's lawyers were told to have their briefs on the issue filed by December 20th. How do you see this playing out, Jim? Okay, so the Supreme Court could take it or deny it, right? Or not take right. it. I mean, that's going to be it. So if they take it, well, then they take it, and I hope they do, and this will, you know, speed forward. If they don't take it, does it go back to the appellate court, or does it depend on their wording when they don't take it?
All right. All very good questions. So it sounds, and I'm going to rely upon your good information, Dom, that you're pulling off the media right now, sounds as if they have decided to accept the request of Jack Smith to take this case. If you're directing attorneys to file briefs, that's basically saying, okay, we'll entertain this. And they recognize again that this, while the underlying merits are frivolous and just ridiculous, how many times am I using that word this afternoon? Well, they recognize that they want to put this to bed. And so not surprising that they would take this up. It does mean, of course, that Tanya Chutkan doesn't have to hold up on things, but she is also plainly preparing still for that trial coming up in March. We should anticipate with December 20th briefs, probably by early right after the holidays here of all sorts, that there would be something coming out of the Supreme Court. They can do a couple of things. They can issue a lengthy opinion and say, no, there's no immunity here. Or they can issue a very brief opinion saying the same thing and, again, direct this back to the district court, effectively obviating the need for the appeals court to do anything with this. Supreme Court speaks. That is law for everybody else below them.
And that's it. Jim, if this somehow, if Trump were to win this case, my understanding, a lot of these other cases, specifically the Georgia case, would be in peril. But what does that allow for the next president? If I'm understanding this, and to go to an extreme,
Joe Biden's going straight to the bank to rob it.
This is what I'm saying. If you have unlimited, ultimate, absolute immunity as president to do anything, then Donald Trump could be elected president, and on that first day that he's a dictator, could literally walk up and execute every single one of his political rivals, and there would be no lawful charge to go after him on. Is that correct?
Frankly, again, that's why this is not only such a stunningly bad argument, in its consequence, it is catastrophic. In the very unlikely notion that the Supreme Court says that there's a there, that he does have some immunity, if going down that hypothetical road that you've just identified, it is catastrophe for our government. The notion that a sitting president is not subject to the law, the last line of the Mueller report, do you know what was coming today? No one is above the law. Everybody has said that. Judges have said, including Tanya Chutkan, presidents are not kings. That has been a fundamental focus of all of this. You go down that road, you combine an immunity grant with the notion, which he continues to double down on, which he is, will be a dictator and say all the other things he's saying, and you've got a recipe for the end of the republic, quite literally. Your comment is not overstating it, and that's why it's unthinkable to me that the Supreme Court would even open up that door.
Jim, I got to ask you about Rudy. Rudy started trial today, a defamation trial in the state of Georgia. The election workers, he went off after. Apparently, they handed off a mint, and he said, it's clear, this is evidence, it's a thumb drive, and they've stolen the election, and they're suing him for defamation. And Rudy's defending himself? Maybe I get that part wrong. We'll find out for sure-sies. Come back. James Santella, our fine guest. He is the host of Morning Cannoli Saturday Mornings and former U.S. attorney and, most importantly, friend of ours. Going to be at the Christmas party? Hope so. More devils.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, and why would you? Maybe you just want to relive the finer points. Make sure you go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, look for the Devil's Advocates, find all of our awesome podcasts.
Dominic, here on the text line, we're getting some Jim Santel love. Jim is the greatest addition to your station. Just such an informative show, nice hire crudy. Well, I'll take the credit then. Evens out your early hire of Dom. I don't want to be blamed for that either. But we got a fine guest. He is Jim Santel. He is the host of the Morning Cannoli on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. You can listen across the Civic Media Network. But Jim, I got to ask you about the Rudy Giuliani going to trial today. And he made effectively baseless allegations against two election workers in Georgia. And they were threatened in multiple different ways, Jim. It wasn't just Rudy. It was multiple people that went after these mother-daughter duo. And quite frankly, they were threatened. If you don't confess, you're going to jail within 48 hours. That's what they were told. Jim, what's your impression of what's happening here in the Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss trial?
Right. You've identified, I think, the most important thing to say of all, which is that these two people, Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, they are victims with a capital V, not only by virtue of the things that Rudy Giuliani said about them, defaming them, again, saying these things, and they quite obviously, surreptitiously passing USB ports as if they're vials of heroin or cocaine. wow, just chock full of untruths and arguably some racist allegations there as well. Interestingly here, not only have they been defamed, but they, as they testified before the House committee way back when, they can't go outside anymore. They have been seriously, seriously damaged by this. The threats, as you indicated, Mike. So the damages are huge. And yes, that's what this case is about. Just like the matter involving Donald Trump and the valuations case, the judge in this case is Beryl Howell. We've heard from her before, federal judge in D.C., same court in which Donald Trump will be tried in March, that same courthouse. She's already found that defamation has taken place. He basically didn't participate, that is, Rudy didn't participate in this. This trial is once again about how much money he's going to have to pay to try to compensate them for the damages they have suffered, the threats that he sent in their direction. And along the way, we do get an awful lot of indication about that. One sort of tongue-in-cheek thing that I understand from the trial itself, the thing that they were passing back and forth was not, of course, a USB port. Nothing to indicate this was investigated to the ends of the earth. Nothing to support this allegation that they were undermining the voting. It was a mint, as we all know. And sure enough, the lawyers for the two plaintiffs are going to introduce and or at least try to present before the jury what an actual box of mints looks like as opposed to the USB port. So we'll look forward to that happening in federal court to underscore not only the craziness of Rudy Giuliani's behavior, but the significance of the victimization that their clients have suffered here. Anticipate again a jury looking at this, and not only about the defamation, the reduction in their reputation, but the things that have happened, Mike, as you just said, to them since that time, the things they've testified about. They'll tell you more about it and the way in which their lives have probably forever been changed by virtue of his misrepresentations about what they did and did not do as poll workers. Here's the other point, right? We talk about a chilling effect on poll workers across the country. This is what you've got to do now to try to regain your reputation, regain your life. You got to go into federal court and go after somebody who used to be a U.S. attorney and mayor and advisor to a president. My goodness, this is just horrific. Another piece of litigation. Only good thing, once again, Rudy Giuliani, like others, may be getting payback now for his misbehavior, his misconduct, and I would offer his criminal behavior as well.
Just want to clarify, Rudy does have an attorney, Joseph Sibley, apparently, for the defense. The attorney for defense, defendant Giuliani, has been getting chastised for objecting to basically every piece of evidence.
And again, why would one do that, right? And you're in front of a jury that already knows that your client has committed this fraud, defamed. Don't you want to try to curry as much favor as you possibly can, whatever minimal amount that might be, and not try to obstruct the course of justice here and argue about the dollar amounts in the end, argue about those things that are relevant. Again, I look at the trial attorneys here, and I wonder what they're thinking across the board for Rudy Giuliani, for Donald Trump. They haven't spent much time in the trial court, do not understand the room in which they are playing.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate, James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannoli here on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays. Jim, always a pleasure, man. I want to talk about this election fraud. I want to bring this home just for a minute. Law Forward settled a case with a couple of Biden electors with the civil case with 10 fraudulent electors here from the state of Wisconsin. We know from the reporting last week, Jim, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia going after their fraudulent electors criminally. And we've come to find out that
Ken Chesbro is
Chesbro. He is apparently in conversations with, according to the reporting, investigations here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, that means to me, Jim, Josh Call, what's your take on the reporting?
Could be something there as well. And again, you're absolutely right. We now have three states, Nevada, Michigan, and Georgia, where the fake electors have been charged criminally, crimes committed in those states. What we don't have yet, we've got at least two other investigations going on because they've been acknowledged by the attorneys general. Our attorney general, as you said in your prior segment, has not confirmed or denied that. Given the focus of this, that's the kind of thing that you could certainly affirm without undermining the investigation if its fact is taking place. We would hope, and frankly, to do a little bit of a plug. A couple of months ago on the Saturday morning broadcast, we identified the specific statutes, the criminal statutes here in Wisconsin that could be invoked. We talked about the authority of the Attorney General to do this. We talked about the substantive basis upon which to do it. It's all there. There's no reason for him not to charge criminally. The civil disposition is huge. Do not in any way to minimize the significance of that. But at the same time, their decision to settle these cases goes along. Again, they write this letter saying, yes, we're acknowledging that the purpose of our doing this was to throw the election, that sort of thing. What they don't explicitly say and what you get in a criminal prosecution is what I did was wrong. There's a difference between those two things. And that's why these criminal prosecutions are so important. That's why we're still waiting for our Attorney General to do the right thing here and charge these people with the crimes that they committed here in the state of Wisconsin.
Jim, along that same line, Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, Republican, well, Bob Spindell, this now admitted fake Trump elector, was his appointee. And we think he should be stripped of his position, but LeMahieu came out this afternoon basically using the statement, the legal parsing of the words, the fact they didn't have to accept culpability specifically for their actions. Jim, seems like thin gruel to me, but want to get your legal opinion. I mean, do we need an indictment and a conviction before Bob Spindell gets his ass thrown off this commission?
You shouldn't have to do that. You were talking before even about the legal things that happen to lawyers when they make misrepresentations. People in responsible positions should not be doing this, even with the limited acknowledgement that what you're doing was intending to undermine the election. You shouldn't have to depend upon a criminal prosecution to get the result you're talking about. Criminal prosecution makes it even clearer, but these people should be removed from the positions of responsibility just based upon their acknowledgments that they have made in that civil case.
You know, I should mess with the entire audience and ask you to stick around, but Jim, I know we all got a Packer game to plan for. Really appreciate you joining us today, sir.
Always a pleasure, my friends, and we'll talk with you again very soon. Expect more things going on in Wisconsin and the United States of America.
Thanks, Jim.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
How many times? Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Bob Spindell Must Go Monday edition, a happy hour. Always happy up in here when our friend Jim Santel comes around. And did I mention the Bears still suck, even though they beat Detroit?
Oh.
And I feel like I had a root and interest in that game suddenly, Don. So, go Bears. WCPT, 8:20 a.m. Shout out.
tough game for my Lions.
Dom, Jim Santel, a fine host in Saturday mornings. He does morning cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. I would encourage you to listen. Get yourself edumacated. He does a hell of a job. A little bit more I'd like to throw out there before we jump into Giuliani comparing his own client to Amber Heard and the civil suit to a death penalty.
Oh, my.
That's the headline over at the Raw story. We'll get there in a minute. But I want to acknowledge a couple of things. When Jim stays along, and we've invited him to stay before, and I like to peek every so often and see if the audience sticks around because the audience loves Jim. And I know if they're streaming or not. You know, I like to see all the little, the dots. Well, I know if we keep Jim long, half the people in our audience are going to be eating Quick Trip rotisserie chicken before the Packer game tonight because they're not going to get home. They're going to sit in the driveway, and they're not going to cook dinner. They're going to eat up the gym, the morning cannolis, and they're going to find themselves hungry by halftime, Dom. So
if you have a cannoli, you don't need anything more.
Had to give you a break. Had to let you go get yourself fed. But this show ain't done. You can still be a part. 844-967-2789. Met a guy this weekend, Kurt, listening from Richland Center. And how did I know? I was at a wrestling meet. It was a big prep wrestling meet. Hundreds of kids there. My kid, third place in his weight division. I was proud of him.
Nice.
Didn't often get the medals, but he did this weekend. So good job, Karsten. And I met this father there with his own kid, and his name was Kurt, and he was from Richland Center. And as I'm talking to him, I was talking about this time of year, and, you know, got to be careful of COVID and the Christmas parties and that kind of stuff. And we're, oh, what do you do? He works for, I believe, the city or the county. And I told him, well, I'm in the radio business. He's like, oh, you know, some people bought out the local radio station around here. Some Civic folks. And Kurt has become a big fan of the Civic, he tells me. He said he's always got the 107.7 FM on, which is the, you know, the FM we're playing on right now in Richland Center. News from the center, 107.7 FM. I believe it's, well, I got to do this by memory, Dom. I believe it's 1450 AM. You can listen to us there as well. And I know he gets his Packer games and such, but he also told me he's a big Bucks fan. So tonight, we're giving way to the Bucks game over on the WRCE. And of course, the Packers playing on the WRCO. Kurt, you're welcome.
Keep listening, Kurt. We appreciate it.
And I asked him, I said, you ever catch that product in the late afternoons? He said, the Devil's Advocates? I said, yeah, what do you think of that show? He said, I love those guys. I said, I'm one of those guys. He said, which one? I said, the good one, of course. Yeah. Crudy. I'm the good one, Kurt. I'm Crudy. So anyways, very nice to meet you, Kurt. And nice to know that, you know, we got a Bucks fan listening out in WRCE land and a big fan of the Devil's Advocates. You know, couldn't be half as big a fan as we are, but anyways, welcome to the party, pal. 844-967-2789. You ready for this intriguing Raw story headline?
I mean, I'll dig it up, man. Let's hear it, man.
Giuliani lawyer compares client to Amber Heard. You remember that trial? Amber Heard's the one that crapped on her ex-husband's bed, Johnny Depp's bed, right?
Is that, yeah, I guess.
What a strange thing to compare one's client to. Although, well, I mean,
he did lay down in the Borat film and put his hand down his pants like he was expecting something from somebody.
One of Trump's witnesses in the fraud trial recently compared his disclaimer to like the disclaimer on a pack of cigarettes. Right. When you're comparing your client to a, you know, the warning label on a pack of cigarettes, I'm just saying. So anyways, this is where we find ourselves. Rudy Giuliani's attorney Monday, that's today, Dom, compared his client to Johnny Depp's ex-wife, likened civil litigation to the death penalty, and wrapped up his opening statement in about 5 minutes, according to a reporter in the courtroom.
He's getting paid by the hour, and Rudy's running out of cash.
The aforementioned, and he does have counsel, Dom. He's not doing it himself. Rudy's lawyer, Joe Sibley's slapdash summary came after Giuliani infuriated Washington, D.C. civil court judge overseeing two Georgia poll workers, $43 million civil defamation case by strolling into court late.
Hey, what's
I thought
going
this
on?
Is a man that wore two watches. Yeah. Remember? I'm wearing two watches. Remember that day, Giuliani? And he said that so he can bill him twice. The man strolls in as a criminal, well, a civil defendant, strolls into his own court appearance late, Dom. Even I think you and I would keep Lombardi time going into court.
I mean, $43 million? Yeah, I think I'd show up for that one.
Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss have said that they faced death threats after Giuliani accused them of interfering with the 2020 election by passing around a USB drive like illegal drugs. The object turned out to be a ginger mint. In their opening statements, attorney for Freeman and Moss say their lives became a perpetual nightmare when they were targeted by Giuliani without evidence. That, according to CBS News, they didn't stop Sibley from slamming the women's attorney Monday for seeking the civil equivalent of the death penalty and damages, reports McFarland. Well, then maybe client shouldn't have defamed them.
If you're the civil equivalence of the death penalty, perhaps is warranted when the plaintiffs are receiving death threats based on the BS your client was shoveling. Yeah, dude, that's messed up.
Well, apparently that's where he started comparing his client to Amber Heard, the one that took a dump in the bed that Johnny. Anyways, Sibley then tried to compare the large amount sought by Freeman and Moss to those debt demanded from Amanda Heard, who was unable to pay the movie star $15 million in damages for calling herself a survivor of domestic abuse, according to McFarlane. Well, she was still ordered to pay. You know, that's lifetime earnings, Dom. When you talk about a judgment, Rudy's still got a few good years, maybe, left in him.
I mean, good luck. $43 million, I assume. All right, so this is like the Trump thing. He's already guilty of it, right? Trump's already been guilty of the fraud and the civil fraud in New York State. And Rudy's already been found, guilty of this defamation. Now it's a matter of negotiating or discovering how much money should it be. Should it be, $43 million? Should it be $4.3 million? Should it be $43? That will be to be determined. But, I mean, I cannot imagine, Giuliani, I don't know anything, that he's got $43 million sitting cash. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's stiffing his own lawyers, apparently. Right. Although he did apparently buy a very nice engagement ring for the woman he allegedly was stumping down at the office.
Now, wasn't he selling the condo too, though?
You'll see a lot of evidence of harm, according to Giuliani's attorney, Sibley. But not a lot of evidence Mr. Giuliani was the cause. What, they accused themselves? Just because someone else was the actual vessel of the harm, someone else made the death threats, Giuliani didn't come down to their house personally and make the death threats. He just targeted the death threats through defaming accusations.
Do you recall, did Trump jump in on this as well? I mean, I think Trump has referenced them. So if it's Giuliani, and I'm curious on the legal thing here, because I recall, and you know my memory, man, but Trump was kind of jumping on that bandwagon referring to these folks, if not by name, certainly by topic and subject.
I would not be shocked, but this is Giuliani's trial. Trump will already get bled all of his money at other subsequent fraud trials and E. Jean Carroll. And perhaps even a few civil penalties for causing an insurrection on January 6th. That might come from civil forfeitures. I can tell you with my own run-ins with the law, they had some fines and some court fees. Just saying. 844-967-2789. You never let me get out the phone number.
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY.
Much better when you do it. Nearly uninterrupted.
Reiterate it. NBC News from June of this year. Years after the lies were turned upside down by conspiracy theorists, Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss, officially cleared by Georgia authorities. Georgia State Election Board dismissing its years-long investigation into alleged election fraud in the State Farm Arena in Atlanta more than 2 years after conspiracy theorists. And then President Donald Trump claimed that Freeman and her daughter had committed election fraud in the 2020 presidential elections. The fraud claims were unsubstantiated and found to have no merit, the investigator concluded, reporting on the work of the FBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, and investigators from the Secretary of State's office vetting the alleged fraud. During their efforts to overturn the election, Trump and his ally Rudy Giuliani repeatedly claimed that Freeman and Moss had committed election fraud. A heavily edited brief clip of security footage was widely circulated online by Trump allies as supposed proof. Freeman, in particular, became a target for Trump, and the former president made false comments about her on social media as recently as January 2023. So how is this all? How's Trump not charged in this as well?
Charges, they are civil accusations.
Sure, but Trump was on it as well, man. And Trump was a piece of that as well. So anyway, I find that interesting. Maybe they'll go after him next.
Perhaps they will, Dom. Found a little headline here. This one's intriguing, Dom, at the Washington Post. Trump's day one dictatorship becomes an applause line. You know, they're playing this one now, like playing it to the GOP base. The author of this, I better make sure I get this accurate. It's Philip Bump at the Post. The author writes, "The last time I wrote about Gavin Wax, the head of the hard right New York Young Republicans Club, was in the wake of its annual fundraising dinner last December. Wax, who was joined that evening by Donald Trump Jr., Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and other figures from the rightmost fringe of the national and international politics, described his vision for political activism. Here's what Wax said. We want total war! We must be prepared to do battle in every arena, in the media, in the courtroom, at the ballot box, and in the streets. Charming guy, Dom.
Yeah.
At the time, this was simply a small component of a broad, shallow rhetoric hinting at political violence and a need for extremists' response to the moment. Not unimportant, but still distant from actual anti-democratic actions. But on Saturday, Dom, at the NYYRC's 2023 iteration of the dinner, Wax returned to the theme. Here's what he said. Once President Trump is back in office, according to Politico, we won't be playing nice anymore. It'll be time for retribution.
I am your retribution.
All those responsible for destroying our once great country will be held to account after baseless years of investigation and government lies and media lies against this man. This time, though, there was much less distance between what he said and the mechanism for making it a reality. Unlike last time, Wax's comments were followed by a speech from Trump himself. Gavin! Trump marveled at the outset. That was an excellent speech! That was an excellent speech! The crowd applauded. A chant of Gavin broke out. Then the man whom Wax saw as the vehicle for far-right retribution, the man had himself introduced the idea that he was such a vehicle, dug into his remarks. Much of the speech centered on familiar themes and rhetoric. These people are sick. They are bad. He said of the media, he offered an example that New York Times' Peter Baker said that I want to be a dictator. I didn't say that. I said I want to be a dictator for day one. And you know why I want to be a dictator? Because I want a wall, right? Because I want a wall. And I want to drill, drill, drill. Loud cheers from the crowd. And then the chant, build that wall. And then, I think I heard it, the Bears still suck. More Devils.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. And keep it locked. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 6. Now, Crudy, I know we're talking about Trump and this dictator conversation. Sky Palmer over at the Raw Story. Apparently today, Trump, it was just a joke. Trump said Monday he was just joking when he said he would only be a dictator on day one. What was the joke? He'd be a dictator for all days? Let's read. Trump was responding on Truth Social to New York Times Peter Writer Baker's column on the dictatorship comments he reportedly repeated over the weekend. Fake news writer Peter Obama Baker of the failing New York Times just wrote in a major front page story that I want to be a dictator, but doesn't mention it was said in a joking manner and completed with, but only for a day because I'm going to close the border and drill, drill, drill. A much different attitude and meaning. You know, perhaps similar in the same vein, right? As, you know, you got to fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore and go in peace. You know, kind of covers it all. It's a funny joke, Crudy. It's just a joke.
You know,
after day one, he won't be a dictator. Promises. Pinky promise.
Cross your heart and hope to die, promise.
Die in the streets. Got to fight in the streets. Come on, man. Really? I mean, you're gonna go fight in the streets to defend this guy?
You know what that makes me think of, Dom? Your what? Buddy, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Pitchforks.
Torches time in America.
We heard him say that specifically at a Donald Trump rally. That was back in 2016 timeframe. Jeez. Well, now Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. says he doesn't care what the national Republicans say. There's going to be a ground war here in Wisconsin, and I think he's angling that he would be the right guy to represent the Republican interest against Tammy Baldwin. Don't you think that's why he keeps talking to the press and doing the podcast, and going on the Vicky McKenna show, you know, to object to lots of stuff? Well, he's not just doing it to hear himself talk. He's doing it because he's running for the U.S. Senate soon, don't you think?
Should be an interesting primary.
I'm cheering for this action. Draft Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. We need you in this race. I need it for the entertainment value, you know, really for the next year, Dom, because sometimes politics gets boring. But I got to think that would make it more interesting.
Ever since the Devil's Advocate started, politics has never been boring.
You remember that one day in 2014?
No.
It was boring that day. 844-967-2789. CJ, never thought I'd be bored enough to think you'd be a good choice, but here we are.
Happy Monday, CJ. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey, I thought you said you were now my buddy, Rudy.
I am your buddy. I'm being your buddy. I bust my buddy's balls all the time, man. Just ask Dom.
That's what being a buddy's all about, man. You get a little bit of room to bust some chops, man. That's why you're friends with people.
Well, you guys avoid the real news like the president, the way he runs to Marine One now without answering any questions.
Well,
but that's how he
are you asking a question or are you
this president?
What the hell? What we missed today, CJ? Bring us up to speed, because I haven't been on Fox News in a while. So what's the breaking at Foxy News?
Well, I know you guys fantasize about Donald Trump all the time, but you know you should really look at the news. How this president has taken money from China through his 9 indicted son, 9 counts. Indictment.
Are you talking about the truck payments, dude?
Taxes, blah, blah,
come
blah.
On, Comer.
Because it all leads back to the big guy. The
well,
big
why would they charge the Hunter then if it leads to the big guy, CJ? Why wouldn't they charge Biden then?
It's coming. The truth is coming, Dom. As hard as you Democrats deflect, you deflect.
It's
so
not deflecting.
Well, like
it's just a
straight up news.
Question, man. And as I've said it before, and I'll
like
say it again.
Trump's
and
been
like
charged.
You,
4 different jurisdictions, 91 times.
If Hunter Biden did something illegal, then he should be charged and pay the consequence. If Joe Biden did something illegal, he should be charged and pay the consequence. If Donald Trump did something illegal, he should be charged and pay the consequence. Can we agree on that, CJ?
But you only want one of those.
Is that a yes or a no, man? Before we continue, I'm just gonna listen. I just laid it out there, brother. I just want to know if you agree with my statement. Yes or no? Do you agree with that?
You don't want him investigated.
I mean, I just don't know what to tell you, man. It's a very simple question. 844-967-2789.
Maybe you'd answer it after the holidays, the next time we let him on, Dom.
Let's keep going. On the lines, 844-96-PARTY. Kevin from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
What do you got today?
Well, I just tuned in. I'm on my way home from work, and if David Clark's running against Tammy Baldwin, he ain't going to win, because if a black man can barely win a Democrat thing, definitely winning the Republican side. The Republicans are all racist.
Oh, come on, Kevin. Look at how well Tim Scott did in the presidential race.
I know. I had to laugh with that. What was that, Obama 2.0? Come on.
Well, I mean, Nikki Haley seems to be coming up strong in the runner-up race for the Republican presidential nomination.
What's that mean? She's only down 30? Yeah.
She's down in her home state.
Who is the Becky stand guy?
Was that Stabby?
Herman Cain.
Okay.
Herman Cain ran. And Ben Carson. Stabby McStabberson. You know, they act like they like, Republicans act like they like black candidates, but they never advanced throughout the primaries. That has been my experience, just historically, looking, casting, show me I'm wrong.
Anything else today, Kevin?
No, that's it.
Go Packers, right, fella. Man. Go Packers.
Go Packers.
When Julian Bradley wins the presidency, then I'll believe they truly
believe it.
Have embraced, you know, diversity over there in the Republican Party. But while Robin Voss takes the attitude that we don't give people raises and we don't build engineering schools and we fire faculty because there might be some implied growth in diversity education, which also is like veterans in different groups that, like my son, who's a disabled student. He falls under the DEI category, Robin Voss, but you make it all about racism. And you wonder why we make accusations against you and your party, because we're calling a spade a spade. Thank you all for listening. I want to wrap up with this thought. Bob Spindell must go. Please call Senator Devin LeMahieu, 608-266-2056. He needs to be fired from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Thank you, Jim Santel. Stick around for Maggie Dawn. Go Packers. And the Bears still suck.
You serious, Clark?